Tune in to the Paddy Power Cheltenham Preview Night with Ruby Walsh, Tony Mullins, Lydia Hislop and Frank Hickey. Monday the 7th of March at 7:30 live on Paddy Power's Facebook, Twitter and YouTube.
Welcome to a win swept from the horse's mouth as we record on Friday morning ahead of a weekend in which we hope that Haydock gets the go-ahead. But Haydock's not the big meeting of the weekend. That certainly would fall on Ascot as far as the British racing is concerned. And we have a little bit of a change-up in our panel. Frank Hickey, regular contributor, is here and he's joined by Fran Berry. Before I get to Frank and Fran, a quick couple of bit of housekeeping for you. A reminder, Cheltenham Festival is around the corner. And here in Ireland, as I've been saying in the last few pods, we've two bank holidays to celebrate. Paddy's Day is always on the Thursday and then a nice little bonus bank holiday on the 18th. And what we at Paddy Power have done for you to make sure you've got your plans sorted, because a lot of people are just going to arrive in this week and go, ah, here, I've nothing to do. And people are gone. And then you're sitting there on the couch doing nothing in your boxers. No, get your tickets now for the bunker. The Cheltenham Bunker at the Camden in Dublin, where there will be pints, bets, racing coverage. And I believe Paul Carberry and someone else will be there. Fran Berry, will you be there?
That is the plan, PK, but I got to survive Cheltenham the first 2 days over there and then Downroyal on the 17th, but the plan is to be there on the 18th, yeah.
So you're Cheltenham Tuesday, Cheltenham Wednesday, Downroyal Thursday, and then you're a shell of a man and you arrive in a pub at about probably 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and ready to rock for the weekend, I suppose. So.
All right, you'll be interesting. Right, be very Frank Hickey, you won't be there. I've said this about 16 times. We won't be there. We'll be busy working. But look, we'd love to be there. But that's, no, we don't. Anyway, we'd love to be there. Or will you, Frank? Will you make it there Friday?
No.
No, okay, fine. Okay, if you want to get tickets, show notes, do check them and the link is there available. Don't forget next Tuesday, as ever, we'll have a latest episode of the Cheltenham Countdown. Really enjoying them. Got great feedback to last week's episode, particularly the last segment where Ruby Walsh was quizzing Rory and Frank on how they assess a race in terms of form. It's anarchy, but it's good. It's good. I would listen back to that one. We'll be back on Tuesday for more. Right, lads, let's hope Haydock gets the go-ahead, but let's crack straight into it. We've got a very good card at Ascot to get things underway and got to get a Bateau. The Bateau London Reynoldstown Novice Chase is the first race we're going to look at. It's a grade two. This one is going to be run on soft ground over 3 miles. Does He Know for Kim Bailey is the 2-1 favourite, 130 annual Invictus, 7-2 Korak Rambler, bit of a drifter that one, 11-2 Doyen Breed and 7-1 Fernhill. That's the each way horse, 9-1 Geoffroy. That would be an app. Enough winner this weekend. And as you're a nice little guest for us on the pod, Mr. Berry, off you go. You have the honour.
Yeah, look, I suppose the form of 3 under 5 is the key point to this race, isn't it? You know, that horse of Paul Nicholls that has been very impressive and he beat Does He Know and, of course, Diane Breed in two separate occasions. Do think Does He Know is the fresh horse coming here on the back of a little bit of mid-season break. He kept on really well at Cheltenham in that race, albeit there was only a couple of finishers on that occasion, but he's just probably comes here a fresher horse than some of his rivals on the back of a better run. Korak Rambler, very disappointing run last time. Lucinda Russell's trips down south are going very well. She'd win her at Sandown yesterday and is an interesting horse with the tongue tie on. But for me, Does He Know is the one to beat. He comes here on the back of a good run at Cheltenham, relatively fresh, and Kim Bailey and David Bass have a very good record at Ascot.
Okay, Fran kicks off with a tip and a fab, Frank Hickey. Boring.
Yeah, look, it's probably not the strongest renewal of the race, and Korak Rambler is a horse I like. He's a little bit quirky, at least a little bit. He was a very strange race the last day in the Classic Chase. He was out the back, which isn't uncommon for him. He was out the back in a smaller field at Cheltenham and he travelled well and whatever. But there was times where he looked like he was going to be pulled up and then he kind of travelled back into it and the couple got away from him. He stayed on into fourth. It was a fair run, but the tongue tie is going on. Whether that make, you could look at that as a positive or a negative. I'd probably take it as a slight negative. Dorian Breed, probably, you know, he's not far off the setting the standard with that second to 300 through five at Weatherby last time. But he is vulnerable. I think if anything runs to, you know, well over 140, I think he'd be vulnerable. Does He Know probably has the strongest form, but it's all in decent ground and I'd be willing to take him on because of that. It's going to be very testing. It's going to be borderline heavy ground, I imagine, by the time racing starts tomorrow. He was well beaten in an extra handicap last year off a mark of 143 on bad ground. All his chase form and winning hurdles forms on decent ground. And he's a £3 penalty as well. So anyway, the one I like is Jay Fraud eventually. Look, he hasn't shown a whole pile in two chase starts. He was okay up in Hexham when well behind Diane Breed and Emma Tom. He shaped well and just shaped as if he needed the run. Weaken out of it. And it was something similar at Cheltenham when he was behind Cork Rambler in a handicap the last time. But they were both on decent ground. He gets his testing ground that he relishes. He was a massive improver over hurdles last season. He started off winning in handicaps in March 2019 off a mark of 108. He had 18 months off, returned last season, won four handicaps on the spin after having his reappearance run when he needed it, and then ended up finishing second at the Aintree Festival off a mark of 143. He finished the season rate at 147. So he's probably, like, he is the best hurdler in the race. He's won at Ascot before, and the ground is going to really suit him. I think he might bounce out in front here. Fern Hill potentially is another pace angle, but I think Saturday might be the day for Jay Fraud. And he's the outsider. I'm not good at French. You know that at this stage.
Jay Fraud. What's it mean?
I'm cold, isn't it?
Correct. I have the cold. Yes, I'm cold. So yeah, it would be an apt winner as I look out, sleep falling out the window.
Oh,
so
the other thing I want to say as well is Laura Morgan. She had five winners from her last 13 runners. She's in red hot form. Oh, that's a 38% strike rate. So, yeah.
Nice. So top and bottom in terms of top of the market for Frank, bottom of the market for Frank. That's interesting. But to be fair, not a huge amount between them in the betting in terms of top and bottom. Right, let's move on to the 225. It is a listed chase. Fiddler on the Roof, who's been set some tough tasks, beaten by Monkfish, beaten in the Ladbrokes Trophy, formerly the Hennessy, but a very good horse. He's the 9-4 favourite, 130. Ask Me Early, who when he finishes, he wins. Certainly recently anyway, four wins and a pulled up in his last five starts. 6-1 Caribbean Boy. Larry is 15-2. Hold That Thought, also 15-2. 9-1 Fortescue and double figure odds the remainder. Those price at the time of recording. Frank Kiki, what wins the listed chase at 225?
Yeah, look, Fiddler on the Roof's obviously the class angle. I think I could be corrected here, but Ask Me Early, I think his first preference might be Wincanton, isn't it? Okay. So he may well be a non-runner. And I'm going to go for another outsider here, Sojourn. I think I tipped him up earlier this season on his first start and he ended up being pulled up. But if you go back and watch the race, he actually travelled really well and you're thinking he's going to go close and then he just stopped like he was shot coming to two out and they pulled him up. But if you go back, he's won the season reappearance the two seasons before that. Firstly at Marker Race in 2019 off a mark of 117, absolutely bolted up. And then 2020 at Carlisle when he won off 129, I think he won by 12 or 13 lengths. He was second to Tommy Whittle last year off a mark of 140. That's the mark he runs off here. He was strong enough in the market in that London Gold Cup handicap, they said, in October. Hasn't run since. And he's actually switched from Anthony Honeyball to Martin Keeley. Keeley is having a great season. His strike rate for the past 5 years, an average of 12%. But his strike rate this season is 22%. At the ground's ideal, he only carries 10 stone 9, and we know he goes well fresh. So just at a big price again, I'd have a few bob each way on him. I think the stable switch, it could just have him back to his best, hopefully.
Interesting. 16-1 at the time of recording. Fran, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, the heart would love to see Regal Encore winning, wouldn't it? You know, 14-year-old, 13 last year when he was just beaten a race and he won it, what, back in 2018. Anthony Honeyball's having a great time of things and it'd be some achievement to get a 14-year-old to win a chase like this. Hard to see it, but I think that he'd raise the roof if he was in contention at the second last onwards. But the class horse is Fiddler on the Roof. I think he went through a sticky period when the Tizard horse weren't on all that well. His run the Ladbrokes Trophy was very good. Now, he can knock the form in some respects. Brahma Bull was back and third, pretty exposed handicapper. He was a long way back. Cloudy Glenn was beat well on his next two starts. But he just is probably the class horse to race. He has top weight as a consequence, but I just love the way the team is going at the minute. They had a little bit of a lull post-Christmas to seem to be going back better again. And for me, he's a very worthy favourite and the one to beat. Each way alternative is probably John Janiel's runner, Cobodolo, who ran it very well. Ran really well on the track recently. He is a 10-year-old. He's pretty much exposed, but he's got a very good £3 claimer and Kevin Brogan on board. He'll be up at the pace and he could run a big race at double figure odds.
Okay. Yeah, I second your thoughts on Regal Encore. Is this Anthony Honeyball earlier on a different podcast, and he said he's given him a wind off for the first time. He's a 14-year-old. He's got a wind off for the first time, which is amazing to get to 14 without a wind off.
Imagine if they'd done it 5 years ago.
Could you imagine? Yeah, he would have won 10 races at Ascot. Yeah.
You were listening to another podcast, PK.
I have to do my research. I have to listen to the opposition. I mean, if I'm going to put myself in the Nick Luck kind of category, then yeah, why not? Yeah, I mean, it's us or him, right? You know, of the two podcasts. Anthony Honeyball was on the Nick Luck Daily, and he definitely would be. He'd fill you with confidence. He thinks he's going to run a big race. There's definitely excuses. We know he runs well, the track, etc. But I'm going to have a few quid each way on Regal Encore in that race, definitely. But stick with us, lads. We're the best podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Right, and moving on to the 3 o'clock, which is the Ascot Handicap Hurdle. This race, watch out for extra places on this. 7-4, good risk at all, is the favourite for the Grade 1 winning jockey, Charlie Deutsch. Sam Thomas will take, or is the trainer. 4-1, Captain Mathan for Paul Nichols. Lightly enough race, this horse, but he's won his last two. 6-1, Zaccone Rebel. Highway 102, not 101, is 8-1. 10-1, Ballybeg. 12-1, Christopher Wood. And Piccadilly Lily, 14th bar. Okay, we go back to you, Fran.
Yeah, look, I think everybody looking at top wave with a view to Cheltenham Easyland, of course, running for John O'Neill. The cross country, maybe taking on Tiger Roll, possible Grand National as well en route to that. But for me, a big fan of Good Risk at all. I think he's a progressive horse. He's been running well. Zaccone Rebel, the same would apply to him, an improving horse going through the ranks. But for me, the horse is most interesting is Nichols, runner number 6, Captain Mathan. Think he's getting it together on the track. And he was a very good winner at Taunton, entitled to win last time, but he travelled really well through the race. He's paid a price for that by going up £9 in the handicap. Still relatively lightly raced. And you got to remember, he came with a big reputation from France. He's ran some good race in defeat, and he may well just be getting it together now at the age of 7. For me, he's the one that I like of the shorter price ones. And I would give a mention to number 12, Piccadilly Lily, an interesting one for the Willie Cohns. Alan King trains this French import. Interesting to see that one pitch into handicaps like this on the back of coming from France.
Yeah, just a few runs at Auteuil for Piccadilly Lily. Yeah, very interesting to see how Paul Nichols' horses go this weekend. A lot of eyes, obviously, kind of inconclusive as to whether he's back in form. Brave Man's Game, obviously, Frank ran well and won, but the others were disappointing. So it's still a watching brief with his horses, maybe?
Yeah, I was just going to make the point when we get the next race about how he had 3 runners this week. The first one was Plumpton, I think was it. He was second in a 4-runner race. Ran okay, but the other two were at Sandown on Thursday, where he had a winner and a close second. So
he's back.
You could say it's positive signs anyway that they all ran relatively well this week. The 3 that ran, it's only a very small sample, but you know, it would give you hope that they're turning the corner at least.
Lovely. Your thoughts on this 3 o'clock?
We have an extra play, so good risk at all. He's obviously going to be very difficult to beat off America. Of 127, excuse me. It's only £3 higher than his close second at Warwick on his handicap debut. If you go back to his bumper form, he would look very well treated. The one thing you'd worry about is his jumping could be better. Like if he jumps well, he'll probably win. But it's a very short price to be taking in a handicap with a few interesting ones here. And again, you know me, I like a big price one and taking an absolute flyer here on Dan Skelton's horse, Lucky One. Skelton won this last year with Shannon Bridge. This horse had 2 starts in France and ended up moving to Paul Nichols after the horse had just 1 start for Winnie Mullins. He was beaten in a maiden hurdle. I think Foxy Jacks won it, and there was something decent second that day as well. This horse won a sudden maiden hurdle very easily in its 3rd start for Paul Nichols. Easily won a novice race win Canton under a penalty in heavy ground last year. Won by 20 lengths from Natural History, who's rated 118. And there was another 19 lengths back to Lily Pedler, who's rated 112 now. So like, showed he handles bad ground and beat 2 horses, they're okay. Like, they're not superstars or anything, obviously, but that would make his mark of 127 look appealing. He was well beaten in the Grade 2 Premier Novices hurdle at Kelso. I think he went off 9-2 for that. That was the one my Drogo won. And then they pitched him into Grade 1 Company in the Mersey Novices hurdle at Aintree. He was ridden you know, not from the front, but prominent. And he was still going well when he tipped up 4 out He was 50-1 that day. Look, it was too far out to know how he was going to go, but it looked a decent renewal. You had the likes of Moidrogo won the race. Manila Drama was second. You'd Guard Your Dreams, Bally Adam, The Real Deal, all in there. It wasn't a bad renewal of the race, and he was still travelling well. He switched to Dan Skelton. He's barely beaten a Riven in two starts, but his mark has dropped from 137 to 127 off the back of two runs. And the ground is no issue. He's 33-1 with the extra place. I'd have a few bob each way on him.
Frank, we've gone to three races so far today at Ascot. You've tipped up Jay Fouad, 9-1, biggest price in the race. You've tipped up Sojourn in the 225, the biggest price in the race, at 16-1. And at 3 o'clock, you've tipped up Lucky One, a 33-1, biggest price in the race.
I might have to do now, Super Yankee or something.
I just put it into the old Paddy Power calculator there, stick a euro on the treble, and it pays 5,779-1. You know, we're talking life changing sums here, Frankie.
They're big prices for a reason. Yeah. But I would think Jay Fraud will shorten up a good bit between
them. Let's get rid of that D. Get rid of that D. We don't pronounce the last letters in French. Unless it's an E after them.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's why I gave it up in the first year. I didn't like it.
Well, I'm bringing it back, Frank. How's your French, Fran?
Not great. Got plenty of stick about it on Racing TV. My French and Irish names, we've just given up on a Friday night pronouncing them properly. We just go our own way. So that's, and refer to numbers if needs be. So that's
that's maybe the way to go with the French ones. The Irish ones aren't too bad for me, but the French ones, I absolutely murder them every single time.
I'd love to be that Racing TV producer when yourself and Kevin are on anyway. I'd say that would be some crack. Right, we'll move on to the big race at Ascot, the 338. It's a Betfair Ascot Chase. This is a really nice race. This close to Cheltenham. Fakir Dudery, Joseph O'Brien sending this one over. He's been strong in the betting all week. He's now the 5-2 favourite. St. Calvados, the other side of the coin, who was original favourite, is now 8-4-1. It's 9-2 for Dashiell Drasher, who loves it at Ascot. Also 9-2 for Fanny and Destreval. 5-1 Mr. Fisher. It's 10-1 Lost in Translation. 18-1 Waiting Patiently, of course, has won here before, and 25-1-2 for Gold. Back to you, Frank. This is I'm liking this race. For, you know, often we get this close to Cheltenham, sometimes it can be a pretty poor renewal, but I think it's a good one.
It's a good renewal, and I think what I like about it is there was 8 entries on Monday and we've 8 declared. Very rare that'll happen. And for anyone worrying that they might have backed something each way on Monday when it was only 2 places, because you would assume something would come out, you will get paid 3 places. So don't worry.
Thank you, Frank.
Just in case people are worrying there. I think what's interesting about the race is that in the last 10 years, the biggest price winner was Dashiell Drasher last year and Baller Success in 2015, who were both 4-1. The market tends to get this, you know, pretty right. I think it's fair enough. Fakir Dudery is favourite. Last season, he was obviously second. Ryanair won the Melling very impressively. One in reappearance in a you know, a lower grade race for him. But I was a bit disappointed with him in the John Durkin. And obviously, I think you can kind of put a line through the Horse and Jockey Club race at Thurles, when he made an awful mistake at the first and his chances compromised. Then he was never going to beat Alaho off the back of that. But yeah, the John Durkin, I would have liked to see a bit more, because I don't think Alaho ran, even though Alaho won, I don't think he ran to his very best. And the fact he could only finish fourth, you know, it's a little bit disappointing. He has the highest official rating in the field of 164, but he's not a winning machine either. Like, he's won 6 of his 23 career starts. And just at that price, I'd probably want to take him on. I'm going to take him on with a horse who hasn't won since October 2019, but he's only had 6 starts in the interim, which include a neck defeat to Maine in the 2020 Ryanair, a 4th and a 3rd in the last 2 King Georges. It's obviously St. Calvados. Look, I think everyone saw that it wasn't the greatest ride he got in the King George at Christmas. Gavin Sheehan just went for home before the end of the back straight.
He's paid a price for that.
He has paid a price for it. Yeah, look, I don't like knocking him. He's actually from, I think he's from Dunmanway, which is where my mother's family are from, so I won't knock him. But look, he's paid the price. St. Calvados, what the horse had shown those, loads of ability. What I liked about it was they went really hard in the King George, and he was always travelling comfortably, jumping perfectly. You know, and I think that augurs well even for the Ryanair as well, where Alaho potentially, you know, could set a strong pace, and he'll be one horse who'll be able to travel within himself. I'm not saying he'll beat Alaho now or anything, but for this race, the ground should be okay. The question mark, and the reason he's probably drifted, is the stable form. But if you told me St. Calvados is going to run up to his best, he'd be the one to beat for me in the race. It's a bit of an if, but I think at 4-1, you're getting compensated enough in the price to take a chance.
Okay.
But I think he has the most I think he has the most ability in the race myself.
Yeah,
you like, mentioned that. He was very unlucky not to beat me in. Like, I think he made a bit of a mistake at the last, and Paul Tallon closed the door on him as well up the straight. And I think had he jumped the last well, he probably would have won the race. And like Min didn't run below form. If you look back at it, Aplutar was third and Frodon was fourth. It was a really good renewal. And he was just a big price because he was untested really in at that level, at that grade, at that trip. I think he's proved he's up to that sort of grade.
And you did, I was just going to say, sorry, you did put him up in your in our Cheltenham Countdown podcast earlier in the week for the Ryanair. So
as an each way to Alaho, if Alaho runs the same level as last year, he won't be beaten. But yeah, you know, if he's 5 or 6 pounds below that, it gives the likes of St. Calvados a chance.
St. Calvados. Fran, your thoughts on the Betfair Ascot Chase?
Yeah, look, I'd agree with a lot of what Frank said, particularly with Fakir de Diaries. It's a horse I find hard to catch right. Just taking on an Irish horse in a greater race in the UK, they'll probably say on Saturday evening we're mad what we're doing. He won by 10 lengths, bet the English horses. But at the odds, I'm happy enough to look elsewhere. I do agree, St. Calvados, very interesting after that run into King George and back down in trip should suit him very well. I like the profile of Mr. Fisher. I think he's getting it together well again on the track. I know he's got to prove himself if the ground comes up heavy, but he is by Jeremy. I thought he was a very smooth winner at Kempton last time. The form of the beating Eldorado Allen has worked out very well with that horse winning well at Newbury last week. And I just think he's a horse at 8 years old and maybe is getting it together now. James Bone, is a big plus for me in these type of races nowadays in the UK. And with a likely strong pace, last year's winner, Dashiell Drasher, likely to make the running, and he can pick holes in Fakir de Diaries. St. Calvados, at this point, I'm happy to watch him. And I just think Mr. Fisher's form has worked out very well, and he comes here maybe with the profile of a Nicky Henderson improver.
Okay, some nice prices there at Ascot, lads. Just while I was listening to you, Fran, I stuck your 4-1 into the 4-way ACA there, Frank. You're saying, so you've got Jay Foss, Sojourn, Lucky One, and St. Calvados. It just pays shy of 29,000 to one. 28,899 to one. But I'm sure Paddy could just give it a few extra quid.
Yeah, we'd be greedy and throw, that's a quid, so we'll throw 10 quid on it then, wouldn't we?
You'd have to make an each way one just in case, would you? Just at them odds.
No. Win only. Right, we're going to look at Haydock for the two. We're going to have a look at Haydock. Obviously, there's an 8 a.m. inspection, so we're only going to look at two races. So if obviously the Haydock card gets canned tomorrow morning and you're listening after that, you can just skip board a bit. We will move on to the likes of Wincanton and, of course, the Irish racing. If you are having a bet, whatever you're having a bet on, remember, do gamble responsibly. Lots of racing on this weekend. Lots of racing ahead of Cheltenham as well. So do look after yourselves, folks. Keep it fun. That's the key. It is supposed to be fun. Right. 205, the Rendlesham Hurdle at Haydock, folks. This is a grade two. Thomas Darby is the 15-20 favourite. 5-2, Molly's Ollie's Wishes. 4-1, third win. 30-2, top field then. Emma Thomas, 10s. At 11-1, Holstone. That's the outside of the party. Fran, Barry, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Thomas Darby won really well 2 starts ago at Newbury, and he probably didn't perform up to his best behind Champ at Ascot. He's just a horse I don't have a lot of faith in to string together a consistent run of form, and you can see that in his win record. He dips in and out a little bit. Haydock, when it gets heavy, is extremely testing, even on that inside track now. It's a lot sharper than what it used to be, and there's likely strong pace in this race. Topville Ben has a good record on the track. He's likely to go along at a good gallop, along with Molly Ollie's Wishes, who's an improver for the Skelton team. And it's interesting, of course, see Harry Skelton in Haydock on Saturday at the minute for that ride. But the horse I'm going to go with is the horse with a very good Haydock record. Is last year's winner, Third Wind. Hugh Morrison has 1,000 winner during the week of his career. And I think he's just working his way back to a bit of form. I like the way he travelled in Warwick in that part times qualifier. Might have been a faulty run race, but he just got outpaced at a vital stage off the home turn, stayed on really well again inside the last furlong, back to the track that he loves. He needs to be held up, and he has to be produced late, as he was last year, as he idles when he hits the front. But given the shape of the race with a small field, it will be a test. And I can see his rider just waiting, Tom O'Brien waiting on to the last half of furlong if it is happening and pouncing. And I think he's a bit of value given his prevailing conditions.
Okay, plenty of wind around this week. Third wind for Fran. Frank?
Yeah, it's a very tricky race. Third win, Thomas Darby, Molly Ollie's Wishes all carry a six-pound penalty. As Fran said, third wind. I think he won the race. Did he win it last year or 2 years ago? He handles the ground. There's no real negative with him bar the penalty. I would have concerns about the ground for maybe Molly Ollie's Wishes and Thomas Darby, just at this trip, particularly for Molly Ollie's Wishes. Holstone's very interesting back on his first start in over 15 months. He was third in a Stayers hurdle. You just worry that that sort of absence into the sort of slog this will be if the race is on might just find him out. And Emmeton is just, he's become very disappointing in my eyes. And the one I'm going to take a chance on, just because we know he handles the ground and he'll keep going, is Top Phil Ben. Like, he did peak at a rating of 164 over fences this time 2 years ago. And they were hoping to make a Gold Cup horse of him. I think the aim really now is the Grand National. And I think he showed that he can perform to a decent level over hurdles the last time at Linkfield when he beat Emmeton two and a bit lengths. And that was in heavy ground as well. I just think he'll bounce out in front. And I wouldn't be surprised if one by one you start seeing them fall away. And the one I would be worried about is Third Wind. But at the prices, I'd take a chance on Top of Ben.
Great. Couple of interesting shouts there for the Randalls. We'll move on to the big race of Haydock, which is the Grand National Trial. It's due off at 2:40. Secret Reprieve. We think Ed Chamberlain put up at the lunch. I'd love the old gravy train lunch. I wasn't invited this year. On the weights reveal, that's the 11-4 favourite for this. Obviously, he's got great national form in Wales. 5-1 Sam Brown, a real improver for Anthony Honeyball, put up on this pod a couple of occasions as well. On Guard is 6-1, bit easy to back. Black Lion is 13-2. Bristol Demai, back in handicap company at his favourite track on his favourite ground, is 15-2. 8-1 Time to Get Up, who now doesn't get into the Grand National itself because he didn't get enough runs in, and 9-1 the Galloping Bear. The Galloping Bear, Frank Hickey, another friend of the pod. It's 11-1 a big of the rest. So Frank, you've tipped up a few of these. Staying chases are your bread and butter. Where are you going this occasion?
Look, Secret Reprieve shaped really well in the Welsh National, considering his first start in a year. He traveled into it like he'd every chance along with the winner, and he just weakened out of it probably from, I can't remember, was it three out? And he deserves to be favoured, but he is short enough considering. And I'm going to stick with the Galloping Bear. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Sam Brown. Just the step up half a mile is a bit of a question mark. He may well stay, but I don't know. I wouldn't be certain. With the Galloping Bear, he's only 9, but he's very likely raced for his age. He only made his point debut 3 years ago in March 2019. He's only had 6 starts in point points and 5 starts under rules. Since he won his first point in December 2019, he's only beaten twice, when second in a point and when falling in a novice hurdle at Chepstow. In that time, he's won 3 point points, 200 chases and the Sussex National. His 100 chase win when he slammed Samatigal at Fontwell was the race that suggested he could be well handicapped. Samatigal, I think, had beaten Porlock Bay in his previous run at Wincanton, and Porlock Bay, of course, went on to win the 100 chase at Cheltenham. And I thought the last day at Linkfield, he always looked, it was kind of these ones where, you know, you'd have the exchange open, you're watching the race and you're kind of going, am I the only one who thinks this is going really well? He was out prominent the whole way, jumping well in the main. But what he showed is that he's just a resolute galloper, just kept going and nothing could get to him. And he only got £5. Albeit, look, this is a stronger grade of race again than the Sussex National. But the trainer, Ben Clark, is very underestimated. He had a double at Sandown on Thursday, which was his third winner from his last 5 runners. And when you look at his strike rate for chases this season, he's 5 from 13. Like, overall, his record, I think, is about maybe 12 or 13 or 14% or something. But, like, he's 1 from 24 or something in hurdles races. But when you strip it back to just chases, he's very good. And this Galloping Bear, I think he's a big price. I backed him earlier in the week and I'm tempted to back him again at 10-1. I think he's got a right chance.
And you tipped him, what, he won at 12s, wasn't it, last time he was national?
14.
Oh, sorry. I took 2 points off you. Sorry, Frank. Fran, your thoughts on this, the Grand National Trial?
Yeah, cracking race. And obviously, the amount of rain we get overnight is going to be key to the chance of some of these horses. Bristol Demai, what a record he's in Haydock. Maybe he's not the force of old, but he didn't run too badly, I suppose, at Linkfield last time. He's at 7 starts on a track and won 5 and been second on one other occasion. But his last run there in November was not one of his better ones. That said, the ground will be more suitable for him here on this occasion, but top weight now at 11 is going to be tough. Lord Menil will try and make a bold bid from the front as he did last year when winning it. And the veteran Black Line, a 13-year-old as well, probably not without a chance. I thought Time to Get Up was interesting. Maybe he's got bigger spring targets. He won the Midlands National last year for John O'Neill, senior and junior. Maybe he's worth a look, more so with a view to something like that or the Irish National. But I know he's got maybe stamina concerns at this extreme distance, but I thought Engard was very interesting. Just he was favoured for the race last year. He didn't jump as well as he should have done on that occasion, and his jumping may not be just pitch perfect yet. He got in under the last couple of fences when he won over this track on his most recent start, but I just like the way he's going, and he's got a bit more experience than when running in the race last year. And if he handles the more extreme conditions and gets the trip, which he looks like he should do, he could be the value of the race for me. He's got an upwardly mobile profile in comparison to some of these rivals.
Okay, so on guard for Fran and the Galloping Bear again for Frank. One race looked at it when Canton Live and ITV. It is the Kingwell Hurdle, the Grade 2, and Goshen is back for more. He hacked up in this race last year. He was a lovely winner at Sandown last time out. He's the 4-5 favourite. He's going the right way. He's got his conditions, you would think, but between the years is always a worry, isn't it, with Goshen? Daggio, 11-8 then for Dave Pipe and Tom Scudamore, up-and-comer, the five-year-old. And then the big two, where the two big prizes, I should say, are Favoir for Dan Skelton and Clan Danabo Lad at 25-1. Okay, Fran, four runners, but I imagine most of the talk will be on top two.
Yeah, look, it looks between the top two is right. And Goshen, it was great to see him get off the mark again at Sandown recently, but he had a good opportunity there. He still showed that bad tendency to hang right, particularly from the last hurl home. He ended up, he was standside initially into the home straight, and he ended up in the far rail, as we've often seen him do. He bossed this race last year in good style. And at the odds, and given his profile and mental things that he can do with first rider, because he can't, you know, you can't predict what he is going to do. He is going right-handed, which will play to his strengths. But for me, I thought Adagio ran a great race in a Greatwood Hurl. Lots to like about that run, the way he went through the race. We're going to talk about Quixilios later on, of course. He runs Sunday Saturday in Gorham Park, as well. But I thought his run in the Triumph was very good. He's a five-year-old. He gets the £3 from Goshen, and on the back of that good comeback run, I do think he's the one that I'd have to side with at the odds.
Okay, Daggio for Fran. Frank?
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with Fran. I probably won't have a bet in the race, and the reason is, I think, like, Goshen obviously won by 22 lengths in this last year from Song for Someone. He won by 15 lengths at Sandown the last day. Right-handed bad ground's his thing. You know, he can run to high level at that. I do really like Adagio. Like, you go back to our anti-post podcast, I've put him up as like the each way without bet, based on his juvenile form and obviously that cracking run off top weight in the Greatwood. Like, if you look at how well the Greatwood's actually working out, I think it was a massive run. Obviously West Cork was very well treated and a bit of a handicap plot for that, but like, the fifth from the Greatwood, Tritonics, won a valuable Ascot handicap. The sixth, Glory and Fortune, won the Betfair Hurdle. The seventh, Marie's Rock, has won a Kempton Handicap and a listed race at Weatherby. The 14th, Ballyanley. The 15th, Cormier. The 16th, Mick Maestro. And the 17th, Roland Ward, have all won handicaps since. It was a really strong renewal, I think. And he came there travelling as well that day. He handled bad ground as well. He won the finale hurdle at Chepstow on soft ground, wasn't quite heavy. The one thing that puts me off having a bet is that the Pipe Stable are a bit quiet. The run to form percentage is a bit low. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Goshen win 10 lengths or more, but at the same time, I would be shocked if he's turned over. And for that reason, I just can't have a bet. But I'm just hoping Adagio runs a solid race, because I think when you get Cheltenham, in the champion hurdle, I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think he can hit the frame at a price.
Okay.
I see a bit of promise in a run here.
No bet, but very, very interested to see how they go. Adagio versus Goshen. Okay, before we look ahead to the Irish racing this weekend, have you got anything else in Great Britain for us, Frank?
I do want to make mention of three. The first is an Ascot at 115, just shy 2.5 mile novice hurdle. The one here that's interesting is Skytastic for Sam Thomas. Won 2 bumpers last year at Newbury on debut when he beat Orby's Legend, who's now rated 141, and Mr. Glass, who's rated 127. And Fine Casty was in there as well, who's won a handicap this year off 100. He's rated 119. And he followed up under a penalty at Doncaster. Won his hurdles debut at Doncaster last month, beating a subsequent winner, albeit the subsequent winner was at a sharp price. But and he was Godfrey Point as the horse. But that horse had experience and a fitness edge over him. He's unbeaten. He's very likely to improve a fair bit for the run, according to what the trainer said, that he was only about 90% fit at Doncaster. And I think he'll I think he'll win this and book his ticket for the Ballymore. Whether he's up to that level, I'm not sure, but I think that's where he's being aimed anyway. Over at Haydock, one to probably put in your multiples if you're having doubles, trebles, etc. Adramel at 1 o'clock in the 2.5 mile novice handicap. Look, Keep Rawlings coming in here as well. It's only a 3-runner race. He won by 14 lengths the last time at the Utoxeter on good ground. He has won heavy ground before, but I just think the ground really plays to Adramel's strengths. He won a point-to-point in heavy ground. He won his first 2 bumpers in heavy and soft ground. He was down the field then, the champion bumper. He won his first 3 starts over hurdles, all on testing ground, including the Grade 2 Leamington novices hurdle at Warwick. He was pulled up at Cheltenham and Aintree on good to soft ground. He was pulled up in his chase debut at Exeter on good to soft ground. He bolted up in a novice chase here at Haydock over an extended 2 miles in December when he got bad ground again. And his handicap mark of 139 is workable. He just needs bad ground. That's all it is. He gets it. He'll be very tough to beat with a clear round. And then the one I really like at 350 in Haydock, Hillcrest.
Oh, I hope Haydock goes ahead here, Frank.
Oh, I hope it goes ahead. I'd had a good bet on the last day at Cheltenham at 7-4 and he got absolutely smashed up and went off 4-5. And of course, the rag of the field fell down the back and brought and just hampered him. And Richard Partridge got unseated, which is just unfortunate. These things happen. But I think I liked how strong he was in the market. He's a horse that just, we've already spoken about him. He's massive, but he jumps quite well. He travels easy. The way he won when he beat Ian Maximus, just something just resonated with me when this fella's really good. He's up against Green Book, who won. Green Book went off favour for the Lanzarote unseated at the first. He made amends then at Sandown in a competitive handicap hurdle. But he's coming through handicaps, and I'm just not sure he has the class of Hillcrest. Green Book will handle the ground based on his flat form. He'd won races on bad ground on the flat. But his win the last day was off a mark of 130. And I just think that Hillcrest is a proper Grade 1 horse. I really do. And I think it's significant. They're stepping him up in trip here. It would suggest that they have an eye in the Albert Bartlett.
Albert Bartlett, yeah.
To be honest, when I saw him declared yesterday, I backed him for the Albert Bartlett because I had backed Jerry Colum at the start of the year. And obviously that went down the Swanee on Tuesday when he was taken out. So Hillcrest is the one I've backed for the Albert Bartlett now as a result, just looking at him being declared here. So hopefully they'll get a run into him. And I'll be very disappointed if he gets beaten in this. So.
Yeah, you've got a kind of a nice little Haydock trio there in Adramel, the Galloping Bear, and Hillcrest. You can kind of fancy all of them quite nicely. Mm. Obviously, Galloping Bear and Hillcrest in particular. The biggest horse in the world, according to those who've seen him. Anyway, he's as we mentioned on a podcast previously, Henry Daly doesn't have a stick big enough to measure him. So he's obviously pretty big. Right, we'll take a quick break and we're going to talk all things Irish racing straight after.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, we're going to look ahead to the Irish racing this weekend. We're going to start at the Red Mills Day at Gorn, which can often unearth, well, maybe not on earth, but maybe a late Cheltenham mover. Tio Poo is the favourite for the Red Mills Trial Hurdle, due off at 220, the 11-10 favourite as well. Very good winning record. Very well backed during the week has been Saldier for Paul Tennant and Willie Mullins. I'll get more from Frank on that. Quilixios is 5-2, yet to win this season, but wow, very good horse last year. 9-2 Durasso, and then 14 to the likes of Felix Degi, the tide turns, and 40-1. Fran, you were having a cup of tea while Frank was giving us all his selections from Haydock. So I'm going to bring you. Was the tea nice? Was it?
It was quite nice, yes. And I wrote down all of Frank's selections as well. Hopefully Haydock is on. We might all retire after.
Haydock and Ascot, we get the seven over. Good luck. I won't be able for available for Cheltenham if that happens. What are your thoughts? This is a decent little Red Mills trial.
Yeah, it's a cracking race and a clash of the generations in some respects. Got 2 5-year-olds, Tiupo, a favourite, and Quixilios, of course, last season's Triumph Hurl winner. They fought it out in Limerick at Christmas time in a really slowly run tactical race. Tiupo was on the pace on that occasion. I think with hindsight on the day, if Darragh O'Keefe had his time back, he would have sat longer on Quixilios. He just moved 50 yards too soon on tough ground against a horse that hadn't done a lot in front, hadn't been softened up, and it just proved crucial at the death. And of them two, I'd be more with Quixilios against the older horse. I think he's just coming to the fore now. It's probably taken Henry de Bromhead a couple of runs just to get a handle on him after getting him last year. I know he won a triumph for him, but for me, he's the one out of that run I'd like most. I like Tiupo, but he's just, I just can't get away from that run in Ferryhouse when he got beaten by Jeff Kidder last year. And I just wonder, against older horses, how he will perform. For all that, he won very well in Nace and it'd be Quixilios well then. Saldia, he's the unknown quantity, isn't he, in some respects? His last couple of runs have not been good. Back down and trip, blinkers on first time. He's well clearing the ratings, but he's known book, isn't he? And I'd be more inclined to stick with Quixilios at the price. I do think conditions will suit him better. A stronger gallop will hopefully suit him better. And I'm hoping that Tiupo gets taken on the front end and he's softened up a bit for Quixilios to come through. And if he does, that'll pay a good compliment, of course, an hour later to Adagio in the Kingwell Hurl.
Exactly. Frank, so Frank's gone for Quixilios. What are your thoughts on the Red Mills trial?
Oh, you had to sprint down there. The DPD man was at the door and I missed him Wednesday, so I needed to get him.
Well, hang on. What was the delivery?
Oh, loads of stuff. The misses. Did any calling every day? No, to be fair, some of the stuff was for me this time, but that's a rarity.
It's never anything for me either. It's never anything. My missus has a horse, so it literally is just, oh, that's a bit for the bridle. That's a bit for this. That's a bit for that. Like, honestly, the day I get a delivery is the day I go, wow, I am finally above your reckoning, Dan, that bloody horse. But anyway, that's a long way away.
Yeah, so no, I just catch my breath, sprint it down, sprint it back up.
Look, no man, get the
look,
steps in.
See, I'd imagine Saldia, I hadn't had much of a look at this race anti-post, to be honest. I imagine Saldia was put in as a likely non-runner, and hence I wouldn't be sure it's a gamble more so than a correction.
Okay.
With him being declared and his price just collapsing, then going, look, on ratings, he's obviously the highest rate in the race. He is very unreliable. Like, if you thought he was going to run to his best, he'd probably win. Like, he did win a Galway hurdle off a mark of 155 last July, and he won a Grade 3 at Tipperary, beating Durasso. I really like Tiupo. I think he's a good horse. Quixilios, obviously was the winner of the Triumph last year, was disappointing at Nace, much better at Limerick. When he looked like he was coming to win, and obviously Tiupo got back up and beat him. I don't think there's too much between them. And just the way the market is, I'd probably give this race a wide berth from a betting point of view, but I just watch it with interest. I think I'd probably hope for the race that either Tiupo or Quixilios wins, because I think there'd be something interesting, at least for the champion hurdle, you know, if they ended up in there. Or then I think if Saldia wins, we probably know he's not quite good enough to be a major player in a champion hurdle. But the 2 5-year-olds are improving, so maybe they could play some sort of a part in a champion hurdle. So hopefully one of them will win.
Yeah, and on the base of Fran, obviously, Quixilios, the Fran selection, Quixilios, he's already won at the Cheltenham Festival, so always like catching himself. Of the two, I think if he wins, he'd be, maybe might throw himself into that picture. And for those of you who really know your racing from years gone by, Frank, that was a better effort than Des Scahill did a lot when he, the race is about to start, and had to leg it up the stairs to his commentary position, and then you'd get the commentary of, they're off, jump the first.
That was in the Curragh one day it happened as well.
He's done it a few times. Yeah. It was more than just the Curragh. There's definitely been a few of them where you go, is Des about to keel over there?
I think the one there at Christmas where Jerry, not Christmas, the Dublin Racing Festival, but Jerry Hannon Was it the Barksdale race? We'd love to know what happened. He just come to me, and then it sounds like something went down his throat.
He just got really excited about them coming into the straight for the first time. And they had another laugh, didn't they? I think they
No. This is coming into straight.
Oh, was coming into straight. He was. Okay.
I was wondering, did he have Barksdale backed or something?
I was wondering if he was giving birth, let alone how he birth. It was the weirdest noise.
He probably backed when Nicky Henderson had him, and he was in shock to see him coming through.
Yeah, if you can find that clip on Twitter, I'm sure you can. Just put Jerry Hannon Birchdale or something like that. You'll find it's very good. It is very good. Okay, so a couple one shout for Calixtios. Frank's keeping a keen eye on the 220. The 330 is the Red Mills Chase, and this we were talking off air about this. Frank, this is Mellon's chance. Here we go, Mellon. You get your chance to win your race. You're 4-5, the 10-year-old, 4-1 Chatham Street lad, 11-2 Daily Tiger. Hardline is 15-2. It's 8-ton sizing Potsy. He should be winning this race, Frank Hickey, Mellon, because he doesn't have, it's not an Irish Gold Cup. You know, it's not one of these grade three chases or grade one 3 mile chases. But will he?
I'd ask you a question. He's won 25 times on the rules. Over jumps. How many times has he won?
I'll say, got to be at least 3.
Oh! So, look, he does bring the best form to the race, but doesn't like winning, albeit it's always in grade ones and whatever. Yeah. And do you really want, like, I'd ask this question. If you backed horse of this profile at odds on all the time, I don't think you'd be a rich man, would be the way I'd put it. And I just couldn't back him at the prices. And I'm going to take a chance on Chatham Street Lad. He does have a bit to find on ratings. But obviously, I think ground's important to him. You go back to the Caspian Caviar last year. He absolutely turned that into procession. And that wasn't a bad race because the second Midnight Shadow was showing how well handicapped he was when he's come and won the Paddy Power this year and was second in the Caspian Caviar this year. I think it's called, is it the Racing Post Gold Cup now it's called. And obviously he suffered an injury since, unfortunately, but that was a good race. And he went to Limerick and won a grade three very easily over 3 miles as well on bad ground. When he beat Full Time Score, who won a race, was it during the week at Punchestown? And there was something else in there. Deffy Blue, who's a reasonable handicapper as well. I just think if we're getting his ground again, I'd take a chance on him turning over Mellon. I think he's not... Chatham Street Lad's not quite grade one level. I know he was third in the Bedford Hurdle beating a long way, or Bedford Chase beating a long way, but I think he's capable of running like mid 150s on bad ground, maybe even high 150s, and just that might be enough to turn over Mellon. It really might.
Okay, Fran, are you a believer?
Not at the odds. I'm very, very happy to watch him. I do think it's a gilt edge opportunity for Mellon, and anybody who wants to put a bit of fun in their lives could probably do the Goshen and Mellon double there within about 15 minutes just to spice it up a bit. But
we might set that up as the head case double.
That's a bit harsh on Mellon now. You wouldn't call him a head case, more so just... He bangs his head against very good horses, I think, you know.
You'd be very disappointed for him if he doesn't win tomorrow because it doesn't get any better for him. But I'd be like Frank, I'm a big fan of Chatham Street Lad. I think he's been overfaced, obviously, at Haydock in that Betfair Chase. But go back to any of his runs last year, winning at Cheltenham, of course, winning at Limerick in March, handles the ground. Current price 4-1. He was 5-1 a couple of minutes ago with Paddy Power. Frank has obviously took that and took it down at least. And at 4-1, he'd be the only one to come back. Daily Tiger had a hard race in Limerick. He battled on well over hurdles and he had to chase Energy Mean prior to that and then beat behind off in autumn evening. Just 3 hard races in quick succession is enough to put me off him. And I do like Charles Street Lad as a horse, and he's the one I'd have to back at the odds.
And the great thing as well, if he wins, is you get an interview with Mick Winters, which is always gold, isn't it? He's just quality.
For those who can understand him, yes, he is.
He's is from excellent. Kind of mid West Cork, you know.
It's a Kanturk.
Yeah. Like, you know, so I'd speak that sort of, like, I'm from West Cork, but not all the way west. But like some of the fellas who live around me, the old fellas would talk or would speak a bit like he would speak. So
You do the West Cork. I'll do the French then. All right.
Yeah.
And we'll meet somewhere in the middle. Excellent. That's great stuff at Goran, lads. I just want to have a quick look at a couple of races at Navan on Sunday. We're operating without prizes at the moment. And I remember sending you the running order earlier on the week. And lads, we'll look at the Boyne Hurdle. It'll be a nice, easy grade two to kind of unravel at the 220 on the Sunday. I've seen the declaration. You've all seen the declarations. There's quite a big field here. 14 declared for the race. Now, Durasso's declared. He might be doubly declared at the weekend. But Ronald Pump, he top rated possibly. He's 1.56. Durasso, Darvish Star. You've got Commander Fleet, Graham Watt as well, who's been, oh, I suppose he's a Cheltenham race somewhere in him. Longhouse Poet, back over hurdles, gentleman's game, no memory. Yeah, this Frank Hickey is tricky.
Oh, it's very tricky. Very good, though. It's great to see such a big field for one of these races, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're looking at it and you've got Ashdale Bob, Durasso, Granois and Dreal Deal all carry penalties, £5, I think. And I'm just going to side with Darvish Star. He looked all over the winner last time at Linkfield, but Gotton seemed to put him off a little bit. Like, he tanked into the race and looked for the whirl he was going to win. And then Brewing Up a Storm has come up the inside and done the two of them. Obviously, Gotton's come out and franked that form a bit. Like, Darvish Star, when he won prior to Linkfield at, was it Fairyhouse or Punchestown?
Punchestown,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
He won by 20 lengths from Home by the Lee. And that form looks a little bit better now. Home by the Lee was second in the Galmoy, ran on really well again. Look, that form is all questionable, but at the same time, it is kind of saying there's a solid enough look to Darvish Star's win, because I think it's, at the time, people were just kind of going, look, Cecilius Emery hasn't won his race. What's he actually achieved? But I think 2.5 miles on testing grounds ideal for him. The worry would be the Cromwell Stables slightly out of form. They haven't had a winner in 4 weeks, but I've no idea what price is going to be. I haven't looked at the race in enough depth to know, but I'd probably take a chance on Darvish Star, assuming he'd be a relatively, you know, decent price.
But you're pricing the race up, Frank, for Paddy Power, so just make him a decent price, will you? And then we'll be happy out.
You can't do that.
Fran, Barry, your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously Longhouse Poet, Tiger Roll has won this race before and be watching him with interest after that Tiestis run, and it's a real Papillon Tiger Roll route to the Grand National, isn't it? The way it's announced this week, and no better man than Martin Brazel to tee him up. Where do you start with these horses? I suppose Darvish Star, you know, it's he's the horse that comes here in the back of a good run. He seems to be enjoying life back over hurdles. Gentleman's Game, if he came back to something like his best with a cheek piece on, he would be interesting. But I'm going to take a chance on a horse coming back over hurdles and he's stepping up in distance. And I think time will prove that that's what he wants. And it's the Devil's Coachman, who's run into a couple of decent horses, obviously, over fences since going chasing Fernie Hollow and St. Sam. Bit disappointed behind his run behind St. Sam last time, but he didn't jump well. He was very sticky over the first four or five fences. And I think it's really interesting that they've elected to go back over hurdles so quickly. And he's very unexposed. He's a good record last year. He was progressive. Stepping up four furlongs in trip could bring about a lot of improvement. And he's opened a lot more improvement than a lot of his rivals, for all that he is coming back to hurdles after non-productive spell over fences.
Okay, watch out for Darvish Star and the Devil's Coach. Yes, Frank.
He's very interesting, because I saw him enter, was going, Carl Cup. Well, I was thinking straight away, it would maybe, you know, see him run fourth or fifth on Sunday and then head to the Carl Cup. It'd be very interesting. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how they go in the Boyne Hurdle. We've got the 10 Up Novice Chase as well, which is a 3 miler and often used as a prep for the National Hunt Chase. It can, of course, be used for the Brown Advisory as well. Again, no prizes at the moment, but Gordon Elliott and Jiggins Town are definitely going to have a strong hand here. Run Wild Fred on a lot of people's lists for the National Hunt Chase is probably going to be towards the top of the betting, but you've also got Brayside, who's got a fascinating jockey booking. Beacon Edge, a grade one winner this season. Farouk Delaine, also for Gordon Elliott. This Fran Berry is probably a good renewal, actually.
Yeah, it's a very decent race. Gigginstown House, of course, the four runners in the race of the six, and concentrating on the Gordon Elliott runners that he has for them. Mark Walsh's book for Run Wild Fred, Brian Cooper, who probably have more of an association, of course, with the owners, and Gordon is riding Farouk Delaine. And I know Frank might have a little bit of stamina concerns for Farouk Delaine after being outstayed by Statler Nace. Just thought he ran into a very good horse on the day, a progressive horse that is going to be better over fences. And I know Run Wild Fred has got a good record on the track. He won the Tri-Town in great style, ran really well behind Fury Road in that race at Christmas. Just thought he ran a cracker fruit lane at Nace, and I do think he's the one, based especially on jockey bookings, that is the one that could be the pick of the Elliott trio.
Yeah, I think you said Gordon rides Brayside. That will be breaking news. that will be serious breaking news for this podcast.
Cheltenham winning rider.
Well, he was a very good amateur, and maybe he's looking to ride the National Chase. Jamie Codd, I think, isn't it? Who's jocked up for Brayside, isn't it, Frank?
Yep. It's very interesting race. Again, it's difficult to have a bet. Like, Gordon has obviously Run Wild Fred, Brayside, Farouk Delen. Look, I suppose the one thing with Farouk Delen, he could have jumped a little bit better as well at Nace. It was a fine effort, don't get me wrong. Maybe I'm talking out of my pocket a little bit. I did back him. But yeah, I just thought Statler outstayed him. And when he does get the trip, and Mancini doesn't stay, I'd have a small bit of a worry that Navin on testing ground, that something might just outstay him. Run Wild Fred's obviously going to be, you know, well fancied. He is a stamina. He ran a cracker at Leopardstown, considering he nearly took one of the fences with him down the back. From a bet, I'm struggling to have a bet. The only angle I have in the race, I thought was very interesting, that Jamie Codd was riding Brayside with a view to potentially riding him in the National Hunt Chase. And well, I haven't had a bet in this race, and I'm not sure I will. I have taken a few quid on Brayside non-runner no bet for the National Hunt Chase. You imagine if he runs really poorly, he might not even go. You just get your money back. But if he runs well and you have Jamie Codd on board, he's going to be a single figure price for the National Hunt Chase. I just thought, I don't know now, is it something to do with, you know, Jamie Codd not really riding Giggenstown horses, and that might be the case. But if that's the case, he won't ride him. He won't ride Run Wild Fred at Cheltenham either. And this would be the horse he'd ride. And the jockeys are nearly as important as the horses when you come to that National Hunt Chase.
Same lads keep popping up in that National Hunt Chase in terms of jockeys. Okay, great stuff. Is there anything else for me on Sunday, or will we get straight to the maps? Yeah, Fran, you got one?
Yeah, I got one. It's interesting. In the first race, number three, Music of Tara, trained by Henry de Bromhead, thought she ran a very good race at Christmas, keeping on. It wasn't a stable first string on that occasion and stayed on well to be sixth. The race has taken a few knocks since then, but this mare won a pint-to-pint before. Willie Mullins, most importantly, is no runner in this maiden hurl, so that gives everyone a chance. And for me, Rachel Blackmore's booked. Rob Corkholders, that could kick off today in good style.
Okay, keep an eye for Music of Tara and those, I call them the Neapolitan colours, the pink, white and black. Frank, anything else for you on Sunday, or do we get the maps?
I don't, no.
That's okay, you're allowed. You've given us plenty already. Okay, nap time, and I'm not talking having to sleep. Let's get your best bet of the weekend. Frank Hickey, go first, please.
Hillcrest at Haydock in the Prestige Hurdle.
Now, obviously, we don't have a price for that at the time, but Green Book, it's going to make him a backable price, I would have thought.
I see one firm's up at 5-4 already.
Okay. And you'd be happy to take that?
Odds against are worth taking, I would think.
Excellent. Okay. Fran, best bet of the weekend?
I think Adagio and the Kingwell Hurl, and prepared to take Oshin on. I just like the way he ran in the Greatwood Hurl, and Frank made a great case of the form of that race, how it's worked out since. And if it go elsewhere back to Ireland, I go with Chatham Street Lad at the odds.
So you take it on Gosh, and you take it on Melon, essentially. Is it with your two naps, a splitting nap? Listen, lads, that was great crack. Really enjoyed that. Hopefully everything goes ahead at Haydock in particular, with Frank's big price selections also at Ascot. Remember, we'll be back on Tuesday for the Cheltenham Countdown podcast, looking ahead to another couple of races with Frank, with Ruby, and indeed with Rory DeLargy. Have a great weekend, all. It's actually stopped snowing where I am now, so I'm pretty sure the storm is gone. Yeah? Gone where you guys are?
It's perfect here now.
Unbelievable.
No wind and there's a bit of sun out and everything.
We'll be happy out. And Fran, I look forward to seeing your hungover head on Friday, or we look forward to seeing your hungover head Friday in the Cheltenham Bunker.
Looking forward to it. Should be a bit of crack, actually.
Good man. Hair the dog. Be grand. Until Tuesday, folks. Stay well, stay safe, stay lucky.